century, which is where we started originally. And what I propose to do tonight, and then perhaps one more shiur before the end of the semester, we have to decide when that will be, is to see what the after effects of Shlomo Kluger's tshuva, which we started with at the very beginning of the subject, were from the middle of the 19th century until the middle of the 20th century. I'll take it as far as a couple of tshuvas of Rav Uziel and maybe a couple of reactions of Rav Herzog, because things began to deteriorate after that, and we might as well stop at that point. Tonight I'm going to deal, I don't know how much time it will take, so I may get to something else as well, but the bulk of what we will discuss tonight is an exchange of correspondence between two great men, Zvi Hirsch Kalischer and Rav Zviel Hildesheimer. They both read, this was a private correspondence, I don't think it was published anywhere except when they relatively recently published the Tshuvos of Hildesheimer. So I don't believe that this was something that was general public knowledge. And more than how it affects the particular problem which is being discussed, it gives us some light on these two individuals. The case was something which originated in New Orleans and made the press in Germany, and when we come to the discussion of this particular case, we will go into the details. I think it's worthwhile maybe to spend 15 or 20 minutes just simply reading the biographies of these two individuals. So there are two places where you can get the biographies. One is in the Old Jewish Encyclopedia and the other is in the New Jewish Encyclopedia. I don't have a copy of the New Jewish Encyclopedia, but I Xeroxed the biography of Hildesheimer at the Library of Harvard. And I also Xeroxed the biography of Kalischer at the Library of Harvard. And if we have time, the third protagonist tonight will be Hildesheimer's successor in Germany, who was with W. C. Hoffman. So I will read to you, I passed out from the New Encyclopedia, both of those sheets are from the New Encyclopedia. Let me read to you from the Old Encyclopedia. In fact, this particular volume of the Old Encyclopedia was missing from all the libraries, so I couldn't Xerox it, but I could produce it.
How are we doing?
So what I'm reading for you, you don't have. Kalischer, Zvi Hirsch. This is from the Jewish and 1900 whatever it is, Jewish Encyclopedia. German rabbi and colonizer. Born March 24, 1795, at Lissa, Poland, Posen. Died October 16, 1874, at Thorn on the Vistula. Destined for the rabbinate, he received his Talmudic education from Jacob of Lissa and Akiva Eger of Posen. So these were certainly the two greatest rabbanim in Poland at that particular time. After his marriage, he left Lissa and settled in Thorn, where he spent the rest of his life. Here he took an active interest in the affairs of the Jewish community, and for more than 40 years held the office of Rabbinatsverweser. That means acting rabbi. He was the acting rabbi of the small little town of Thorn for 40 years. We must remember that he's one of the great heroes of Jewish history, and he was an acting rabbi in Thorn for the rest of his life. Disinterestedness was a prominent feature of his character. He refused to accept any remuneration for his services. His wife, by means of a small business, providing their meager subsistence. He was a poor man all his life. In his youth, He wrote Evan Bochan, commentary on several juridical themes of the Shulchan Aruch, Choshen Mishpat, and Sefer Maznayim LaMishpat, first Sefer appeared in 1842, commentary in three parts on the whole of Choshen Mishpat, appearing in 1855. He also wrote Glosses on the Shulchan Aruch Yehudeya, published in the new Vilna edition of that work, Sefer HaBrit, commentary on the Pentateuch, Sefer Yitziat Mitzrayim, commentary on the Pesach Haggadah, Hidushim on several Talmudical treatises, etc. He also contributed largely to Hebrew magazines as Hamagid, Sion, HaIvri, HaLevanon. Inclined to philosophical speculation, Kalischer studied the systems of medieval and modern Jewish and Christian philosophers, one result being his Sefer Imunah Yesharah, an inquiry into Jewish philosophy and dogma, two volumes, Kodesh in 1843-1871. An appendix to volume 1 contains a commentary incomplete on Job and Ecclesiastes. In the midst of his many activities, however, his thoughts centered on one idea, the colonization of Palestine, in order to thereby provide a home for the homeless Eastern Jews and transform the many Jewish beggars in the Holy Land into a useful agricultural population. He proposed to collect money for this purpose from Jews in all countries, to buy and cultivate land in Palestine, to found an agricultural school either in Palestine itself or in France, and to form a Jewish military guard for the security of the colonies. He thought the time especially favorable for carrying out of this idea, as the sympathy of men like Cremieux, Montefiore, Rothschild, and Albert Cohen rendered the Jews politically influential. To these and similar Zionist ideals, he gave expression in his Drishat Zion, published in Look, 1862, containing three theses. One, the salvation of the Jews promised by the prophets can come about only in a natural way, by self-help. Two, colonization in Palestine. Three, admissibility of the observance of sacrifices in Palestine at the present day. The appendix contains an invitation to the reader to become a member of the colonization societies of Palestine. This book made a very great impression, especially in the East. It was translated into German by Popper in Cologne, 1865, and a second Hebrew edition was issued by Friedland in 1866. Kalischer himself traveled with indefatigable zeal to different German cities for the purpose of establishing colonization societies. It was his influence that caused Chaim Luria in Frankfurt on the Main in 1861 to form the first society of its kind, and this was followed by others. Owing to Kalischer's agitation, the Alliance Israelite Universelle founded the Palestine colony Mikveh Yisrael, the rabbinate of which was offered to him, but he was too old to accept it. Although all these endeavors were not attended with immediate success, Kalischer never lost hope. By exerting a strong influence upon his contemporaries, including such prominent men as Heinrich Goetz, Moses Hess, and others, he is considered to have been one of the most important of those who prepared the way for the foundation of modern Zionism. You can read a more expanded version. I don't see any preface in my reading it to you out loud. A more expanded version, of course, since much things have happened since 1908, or whenever this encyclopedia was written about Kalischer in the 1970, whatever it was, edition of the... maybe we should read the last paragraph. From the time that Kalischer published Drishat Zion, his life was devoted to traveling through Europe in order to enlist the support of Jewish groups for his idea. He tried to win leading Jewish personalities over to his plan. He also published sermonizing articles in many Hebrew newspapers and journals. At the same time, he continued his writing in the field of halacha, as well as a struggle against those in whose opinion undermined the foundations of religious tradition. He also found himself disputing with the rabbis who objected to his ideas on religious grounds, and especially with the rabbis in Eretz Yisrael, who also brought up the argument that conditions, especially of security in Eretz Yisrael, were not yet ripe for beginning agricultural settlement. Kalischer stood his ground even before the great rabbis of his time. He distinguished between philanthropy on behalf of Eretz Yisrael, in which German Orthodox rabbis were active, and settlement activity of redeeming value in the future. Thus, he adopted a critical attitude toward the building of houses in Jerusalem at the beginning of 1860, the Batei Machaseh in the Old City, as he saw this project as a private endeavor and not promoting the main objective. He believed that only agriculture on a large scale could serve as a stable solution for both the Yishuv and the victims of persecution in Europe. Kalischer saw a small beginning of his ideal, realized that at the end of his life, when the agricultural school was opened at Mikveh Yisrael in 1870, even thought of settling there at the invitation of the school's director, Charles Netter, to supervise the observance of the mitzvot connected with Eretz Yisrael, but his desire was not realized. His son Zev Wolf continued Kalischer's activity, and that his initiative attracted land near Rachel's tomb was purchased from the fund in Kalischer's estate. Sections of Zionist writings was published together with an introduction by Kessel. All of the Zionist writings were collected with an introduction by Klausner. Both collections are called bibliographies. That's one of the protagonists in the debate that we will read tonight. Now let me read to you again. I don't think I passed this out, did I? This. Oh, wait a minute. I didn't get anything.
No, they're holding on.
So here, there should be.
That's here.
Okay. All right. I also passed out, I will read again, this time from the old Jewish encyclopedia about Hildesheimer. Israel Azriel Hildesheimer, German rabbi and leader of Orthodox Judaism. Born at Halberstadt, May 20th, 1820, so that makes him some 25 years younger than Kalischer. Died at Berlin, July 12th, 1899, son of Reb Lev Hildesheimer. He attended the Hakshorat Zvi School in Halberstadt and, after reaching the age of 17, the Talmudic Academy School of Rabbi Etlinger in Altona. That's the Orphaneum in Altona. The Chacham Isaac Bernays was one of his teachers and his model as a preacher. While studying rabbinics, Hildesheimer was also devoting much attention to classical languages. In 1840, he returned to Halberstadt, took his diploma at the Dom Gymnasium, and entered the University of Berlin. There he studied Oriental languages and mathematics, continued his Talmudic studies, and became a disciple of the dominant Hegelian school. In 1842, he went to Halle and continued his studies under Gazanius and Werdinger, Ph.D. in 1844, his dissertation being Über die rechte Art der biblischen Interpretation. Hildesheimer then returned to Halberstadt and married Henrietta Hirsch, sister of Joseph Hirsch, head of the firm of Aaron Hirsch and Son of Halberstadt. So he was not a poor man like Kalischer. In 1851, he was called to the rabbinate of Eisenstadt in Hungary. His first notable act there was to found a parochial school in which correct German was used, and which German principles of pedagogy were adopted in teaching Jewish as well as secular subjects. Hildesheimer next established a rabbinical school, which within a few years attracted a large number of pupils. The introduction into the school of German methods of instruction and of secular branches of learning was resented by the Orthodox party in Eisenstadt, a resentment which Hildesheimer's liberal tendencies and sympathy with modern culture soon changed to positive antipathy. This feeling became so strong that the rabbinical school was denounced before the representatives of the government at Erdenburg, the result being that the government ordered the school closed within 24 hours and the pupils removed from the city. Soon afterward, however, in 1858, Hildesheimer succeeded in obtaining state recognition for his rabbinical school. In addition to the philanthropic activities connected with his own congregation, Hildesheimer took a special interest in the welfare of the Jews of Palestine. In 1860, when the Missionary Society of Palestine provided 70 free dwellings for homeless Jews, Hildesheimer himself built houses in Jerusalem for the free use of pilgrims and of the poor. These houses are still in the possession of the Hildesheimer family. Still means, of course, 1908. I'm reading from the 1908 Jewish encyclopedia. About this time, Akiva Joseph, the leader of the Hasidim, placed him under a ban as not a sincere Jew, an emistic Yid. Hildesheimer, however, seems to have cared little for the ban. He was put in cherem by the right-wing elements in Hungary. At the Hungarian Jewish Congress of December 14, 1868, he had first endeavored to associate himself with the old Orthodox party, but the impossibility of such a union soon becoming evident, he formed his followers, 35 in number, into a separate group, which might be called the Cultured Orthodox Group. In the Hungarian Jewish Congress held at Budapest in 1869, he defined this party as representing a faithful adherence to traditional teachings combined with an effective effort to keep in touch with the spirit of progress. This was his quote from Hamagi in 1869. In Berlin at that time, the Orthodox minority, consisting of about 200 families, dissatisfied with the appointment of Abraham Geiger, were in search of a rabbi of standing who would more nearly represent them. Their choice fell upon Hildesheimer, who went to Berlin in 1869 as rabbi and director of the Beit HaMidrash. There, he also soon established a religious school and a rabbinical seminary for Orthodox Judaism, which 30 former pupils of his at once entered. Thus, he became the real intellectual founder and leader of the community of Bat Yisrael. Hildesheimer, aided by Meyer Lehmann, the editor of Yisraelit in Mainz, exerted his whole energy in his fight against the Reform. As early as 1847, he had energetically opposed, as the representative of the communities in the Magdeburg district, the Reform attempts of Ludwig Philipson. In 1861, he took his stand against Abraham Geiger by criticizing the latter's pamphlet, Notwendigkeit und Maß einer reformnastidischen Gottesdienst. In an address delivered at his rabbinical seminary on defining his own position, he said, unconditional agreement with the culture of the present day, harmony between Judaism and science, but also unconditional steadfastness in the faith and traditions of Judaism. These constitute the program of the new community, the standard around which gather the Israelites of Berlin who are faithful to the law. This firm conviction that traditional Judaism had no fear of the light of European culture determined his attitude and his activity in Hungary and in Germany from the start, and gave him the strength of a man with a definite aim. It is evident, however, that Hildesheimer, who would listen to no compromise, was destined only to widen the gap between the Reform and the Orthodox Jews of Germany. In 1876, Hildesheimer celebrated the 25th anniversary of his ministry. On the celebration of the 70th birthday in 1890, his friends and pupils published the literary Jubelschrift. Among his writings are the following, and then they list. Hildesheimer was simple in his habits and fearless. He had an unusual capacity for work, and his great Talmudic learning was a joy to practical administrative ability. Again, now let's take a look at how these... By the way, one should say that his successor, both Hildesheimer and his successor, came into quite violent disagreement with the school of Shamshon Raphael Hirsch, who demanded... who were sort of uncompromising against any type of cooperation with the larger Jewish community and with the issues of the scientific method as applied to Jewish studies. Hildesheimer and Hoffman both, up to a point, the point probably being including the Gemara but not including the Tanakh, were willing to allow for scientific methods in the spirit of Frankl to be taught in their school. Okay, now let's turn to, this is strangely numbered because, as I say, I had trouble with Kinko. If you start from my first page, you'll see that the first number you'll see is 31, and then it goes down to 25, and that's where we will start. Okay, everyone have the handout? Mm-hmm. As I said, this, we're starting on my page number 25, which on the top of it says Simon Reish Chav Tes. I Xeroxed this from the Charles of Chivas of Hildesheimer, which I say is published relatively recently, but what this is an exchange of letters back and forth twice between Zvi Hirsch Kalischer and Hildesheimer. So we will start with Kalischer's letter to Hildesheimer. Does everyone have it? So this is Shushan Purim, Thorn, Tafresh Kafe. So that's what, 1865. Shlomim alumim la'adoni yedidi harav agon amuflag ha'chacham ha'sholim yachol mover ha'azvi el me'oyar. Nafshi yodat כי מוחד כל תרועתו איש אמת ואוהב דרוש אמת למיתו, על כן ערכה לפניו דעתי הקצרה בדבר אשר גדולי ככבי לב נשאו ונתנו בדבר. I want to discuss something which has been debated by great people in the press. ולא כן אנוכי עמדי, וכל דבר אשר חלקי הבונה וחלקי הסוטה יתייצרו זה לעומת זה ומזניים יצאו יחד, אז קני האמת יזריכו. So let's have an open debate on this issue and let the truth emerge from the discussion.
V'haya v'dati lahatsiv la yad ba'israelit o ba'hamagid. I had thought that I would publish this in the press, in the Israelit or in the Magid. Ach amarti lo nachon l'droch keshet neged shloshet haro'im. I thought it best not to engage in a public attack on the three leaders. V'tov yoter la'arich dvarim el hagadol shebehem, v'humar yudidi nero yoyer. ומזה יבורר האמת, כי שפת אמת תיכון לעד לדרוש אמת, ושנינו נודע על האמת בהו. So now this, all of this was the friendly introduction, and now comes the discussion. הן קראתי בעלה ישראלית נומר 52, שלוש שאלות אשר הוצגו בביקורי העיתים של אמריקה. There were three questions that came from the American press. La asher kara ba'Orleans, of course that means New Orleans, ba'anashim asher chatu l'nashotam, li'kasher im nashim nachriyot ba'holidu banim. Jews married non-Jewish wives and had sons. Ve'achal pi shechatu, even though they sinned, lev Yisrael hi'kashorash libam, li'mol lahem kol zachar. They wanted to circumcise the children. Ve'imotehem, the mothers, hagam shelo machu b'mila, lo hirshu hatvila. They did not object to circumcision, but they did object to conversion.
These are non-Jewish women.
Non-Jewish mothers of the children of the sons of a Jewish father. Baharab desham, the rabbi in New Orleans, asar lahem hamila, prohibited the circumcision of these children. He was angry at the sinners. Al ken gazar omer ki chet va'avon yichashev la'mohel she'imolam. It would be considered as a sin if the mohel will actually perform circumcision. U'pasal et ha'mohel ha'over al zeh, and he threatened to disqualify any mohel who will actually violate his orders. V'la'av ahu yimatzei avon. Therefore, the American community posed three problems. Is it against Jewish law to circumcise such children? Second, does the rabbi have the right, or should the rabbi disqualify the mohel who refuses to listen to his order? Gimel, im li Yisrael acher asher yitein b'no l'mohel zeh avon yichashev lo. If a different balabayis was married to a Jewish woman and had a Jewish son, is it...
Use the same guy.
Yeah, can he use this as a mohel? Okay. So unfortunately, it's not an ancient, irrelevant question, right? This is not something which is foreign to our present experience. Okay. Now we're going to read what he says, but of course it's very long, and we're not going to read through everything, so we'll read and skip and then get to the key points. We'll start with the beginning with what he says, and what we are going to find is that he makes a whole lot of technical assertions. It's like one of these situations where all of the details are wrong or objectionable or can be overruled, but the thrust of the main idea is so overwhelming that it overpowers the details. And we will find that Rav Hildesheimer, of course, catches him on every single one of these objectionable details, but has just no tolerance whatsoever for the main argument. That's what we're going to find, and we'll see that it clearly reflects the difference in these two personalities. Remember that Hildesheimer himself, as we learned, had a really hard time with the right wing, both in Hungary and eventually when he wanted to establish, or his son wanted to establish, the Rabbinic Seminar in Yerushalayim later on. That was also not allowed by the local rabbanim. So you can't view Hildesheimer as a member of the extreme right, but we will see that he's quite a very rigid and technical halachic authority, as opposed to what's motivating Kalish. So let's begin with Kalish's response. Tshuva. Lefi da'ati hatse'ira, according to my opinion, al hasha'ela aleph, in yesh chet lamoli alim ke'elu, nira li de'lo chatati, rak mitzvah lamola. Not only is it permissible to circumcise these children, but there's a positive commandment. Va'avi kama ra'ayot nechokot al zeh, and I'll bring some proofs to this. Ra'aya aleph, הרי גם אקום שבא להימול מועלים אותו ומצווהי. A guy who comes to be circumcised, it's a mitzvah to circumcise him. דאיתא ביורדיה סימן ריש סמכת צפת, אקום שבא לחתוך הרלותם ופני מכה, אסור לישראל לחותך. If a guy comes to a Jew for a remedy, because he has an infection or a wound in the foreskin and wants to have it removed, then you're not supposed to treat him freely. You're supposed to, of course, if you're a doctor, you can do it for pay. Mipnei she'asur la'aseh refuah. Lefichach, im nitkaven ha'akum l'mila, mitzvah li'Yisrael amol oto. However, if the guy intends to do this for the purpose of the mitzvah of circumcision, then it's permissible. Hinei v'makom she'mutal l'afotel mutal b'cholim. הרי שאפילו יישאר עקום ורוצה שימול אותו לשם מילה מצווה למולו. So everybody else in the world would interpret that passage in the Shulchan Aruch to mean that simply the guy is coming to be converted, and therefore if he comes to be converted, then of course it's not only permissible but incumbent upon you to perform the circumcision. And of course, you can argue that the Shulchan Aruch should have been a little bit more careful in his language, right? Well, let's read exactly what the Shulchan Aruch says. It's Simon, where is it? Reish Samaches Lefet. עובי כוכבים שבו לחתוך הולדתו מפני מכה ומפני שכין שנולד בו ואסור לישראל לחותכו מפני שלא נתכוון למצווה. לפי כך, אם נתכוון העובי כוכבים למילה, מצווה לישראל אמור אותו. ובמקום שמותר לרחות עובי כוכבים מותר בכל עת. Now of course, the Shulchan Aruch presumably should have said, expressed himself more clearly. He should have said instead of lo nitkaven lemitzvah, he should have said lo nitkaven legiur. So if we were just simply had nothing but the isolated text of the Shulchan Aruch in front of us, we could presumably interpret it the way Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer wants us to interpret it, namely that it's referring to a guy who wants to perform one particular mitzvah, namely the mitzvah of milah, and not necessarily be converted to Judaism. That's what he's trying to argue here. He says again, Hinei, okay, Harei she'afilu yishe'er akum v'rotze she'yimolu ato l'shem mila mitzvah l'molo. Ve'ein lomar d'rotze gam b'tvila l'shem ge'er. You can't say that this is talking about a situation where he really wants to be converted. Im kein lav akum shmo, rak ger tzedek hu. V'lo hu tzvach l'ashmiyen. וגם לא שייך לומר מותר בכל עניין, רק חיוב גמור למול בהתגר. וכבר אמור שם בכל הסימן כשבוא להתגייר איך דינו, וגם ההורה במקור הדין בשס ידע שלא מרי שם מגר צדק עין שם. And of course, if you take a look in the Gemara, the implication, I think, is quite the opposite of what Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer was trying to say. Okay. Od raya, let's skip the paragraph a little bit. Od raya vuak vima shahereni divrei Rambam perakat ne malachim halachayud yesh raya gam ishas avorazar da samcheh ger toshav shi kibel alav lamol v'avu yu beis chodesh v'lamol havayu kumin shabumot al kad mosharoi lechanecha shi nishar ger toshav v'lo kibel alav mitzvat ha-tora rak mitzvot b'nei noach afilu hachi malin oto kishi kibel oto lekayim mitzvat mileh. ואין להתעקש ולומר שקיבל עליו להיות גר צדק על ידי המילה, וכשבוי בבית קודש אבי כמין, שאפילו גר תושב תולו אבי, זה אינו, ובשס אמרי דגוי שלו פלח לבד הזה, ומותר לשלוח לו מתנה, etc. So he's trying to sustain the argument that if a guy wants to perform on his own behalf the mitzvah of milah, then we are permitted to aid him, and perhaps even commanded to aid him in this particular activity. Okay, let's skip a little bit. And now come to the main thrust of his argument. He gives a whole lot of other technical details in support of this position. And now let's come to the next page, V'acharei. Do you have that paragraph? Here now you see, in this paragraph you see what is on his mind. And V'acharei asher v'yiraun shemutav u'mitzvah l'mul nachri. Now that we've established the fact that not only is permissible, but actually incumbent upon us to perform milah on a guy who wants to fulfill the mitzvah of milah, Ercha shuv l'din zeh, asher haseichel yaskim la. I will now turn to our particular problem, which common sense will agree to. V'hu. Hine hayotzer yisbarach, kol yoshvei terel maaseh yadav. God is the creator of all humans. El echad baranu, v'gval zek, asher hofia b'chasto la'ater et Yisrael b'netinat ha-Torah, when God wanted to give the Torah to the Jews, ratzav rachamav l'tita l'chol ha'olam. He wanted to, after all, give the Torah to all peoples, k'mamar chazal, al mikra hofia mehar paran. When he saw that the other nations did not want to accept the Torah, natlal Yisrael levad. V'chein katav ki li kal haaretz batem tiyu li mamlechet kohanim. Ki b'yemet kal haaretz sheli b'ani rotze lezakotam. All of the lands are mine and I want to benefit them. Rak b'shvil she'ein or Zaruach Lamo, Al Ken Atem Kekoanim Lechol Yoshvei Teveil to you. You will be like priests unto all of the peoples. Shebahit Kavvechem Eli Gamhema Yeru O.
Isn't that like the reform Pennsylvania, where they came out with that idea that we're a priestly nation to
the You don't need the reforms to say that's in the Torah. It's Kohanim V'goy Kadosh is in the Torah.
Yeah, but they made that their principle.
I don't know.
Raised on death, right?
I don't know. U'kumo shebi'emet nasa ken ki kol ma'aminei ha'umot, all of the believing nations, I assume he means Christianity and Islam, he's not talking about the Japanese or the Chinese, ki kol ma'aminei ha'umot yisodotam me'toratenu ha'kadosha. Umin kol hakarot otanu, asher karal Yisrael mutzav amunatan. All of the Christian and Islamic faiths are based on the history of the Jews. V'acharei asher ratza yitbarach lezakot yisurah v'lo zaku, b'li safek petach tikva patuach lamo, shekol mi sheyavo litgayer v'listapeach v'nachalat Hashem, yizkeh l'or ein sof. Certainly anyone who wishes to join the Jewish people will achieve infinite life. K'ma unklus shmaya v'yavtalion v'domehem. V'alkein, k'asher ba'okom l'himol, potchim lo bazeh v'chira chavshit, k'asher yasima libo b'yemet, u'v'tamim lavo liyadat Yisrael, v'nakel yikabel ha'tvila v'ha'mitzvah l'or v'or ha'tzafun. V'im ein molin oto, when you don't circumcise these small children, mavat lin et bechirato, we limit their possibilities for converting to Judaism when they grow up. Ki lo benakel yimso nasho letzar milah bezaknuta. They will certainly find circumcision an obstacle when they become older. V'kasher malin oto nasir mechitzat barzel milfanav. If you circumcise these children when they're young, you will have removed a steel barrier, an iron barrier. V'abchira kayemet leretzona. U'masha amru kashim gerim v'ochel Yisrael kesapachat haynu im lo ba'al imo b'yemet u'v'tanim. V'yata, im ba'akum hadin ken, if this is the case for non-Jews, she'ein v'ze avon rak mitzvah, Kol shekein v'yeled asher aviv Yisrael v'imo hanachwit lo timcha b'hamilo shemutzuvim anu leftoach lo petach tikva l'molo ke'et al dat aviv v'kishi yigdal yuchal maher lasot kirtzon aviv l'tvol atzmo k'dat u'kadin v'im ein malin oto dolchin oto v'yadayim v'yadat Yisrael v'lo kakaturv v'al yidach mimenu nidach. So he says that if we circumcise these small children now, then when they reach the age of majority, they will have the option of following their father's religion and rejecting their mother. But if we don't do that now, this will be a hurdle which will be impossible for them to overcome. V'od yesh l'orer, sh'tvila kazu asher aviv Yisrael yoter mechuyavin l'hachin l'derach ha'bechira mi'asher yaseh alanor nohalad mehanachri. Furthermore, he says that this conversion, which will take place later on when the father was Jewish, we are more obligated to help arrange this possibility than if we do it to simply a child from an entirely non-Jewish family. Ki hagam shemedina havlad kemotal inyan yichus, even though that according to the strict interpretation of the halacha, this child it is considered the mother's child and the father is not considered halachically the father. Al kol ze matzinu ki zera hakadosh yikare. Nevertheless, we find that this is considered the holy seed. Sha'arei kishe'ezra hochiach liYisrael asher nasu nashim nachriyot achar amro ki nasu mibnotehem lahem ubnehem amar v'hitaravu zera hakodesh v'amei haratzot. Ezra used the phrase that they mix the holy seed amongst the nations. V'glal ze, he says, im yesh be'efsharut lahotzi zera nishkata mehatuma o lahotzi mimasger asir v'lahachzira el hakodesh, if there's a possibility of releasing this holy seed from prison and returning it to holiness, ma tov umana im chalkein umasha hotzi sham hanashim mibnei Ezra v'lo giru otan hu mepnei shehayu min hazayin umok mufrash be'ezra in shem o shelo avu melahniach avodat kochavim v'chein matzinu v'avraham avinu alav hashalom שנעשה שפרחת שרה אשר לפי הדין הבלד כמותה והוא עבד ועל כל זה אמר יתורך כי זרחו. He's talking about Ishmael. ובנידן דדן לא מלבד שזכין להבן כאשר בחירתו פתוח על ידי זה להתקדש גם לאב זכין מאוד כי כאשר החוטא ישים על ליבו לשוב, if the sinner decides to return, if you kubal tshuvato im holid banim lavoda zara fa'alohu mu'uvat lo yuchal litkom, how can he possibly come back to the Jewish fold if his children are considered completely idolatrous?
Could it not talk about the children?
No, he's talking about the father.
He said, well, how could he be coming back to what?
He wants to be doing tshuva. He wants to come back to the Jewish community.
He never was. I mean, he's not coming back.
We're talking about a Jewish
father.
Oh,
father, yeah, I'm sorry.
And a non-Jewish
father. Forgetting he's a father, a Jew.
Ach, im asinu bezeret sonoh hatov, lamol sfarav, az benakel yashuv hu im banav, v'anachnu potchim yad l'tshuva. V'af v'mi shelo yashuv chas v'shalom, al kol panim bezer libo nachon imo, sherotze lachzik banav bedat yehudit v'molo otam, v'li safei kasher yigadlom yoram sheyitbelu al dat v'din, ואניך עלי לבן במד האביר האב, ויחר בחיים. ובנים כאלו יש אפשרות לפנים שגדולי ישראל יסמכו מהם עלי השושנה מבין החוכן תצמיר. That's Rutzvi Hershkowitz speaking. A man with great passion and enormous vision. Okay, let's... Now read, skip a little bit to the end. To that is the next page, 27, to see Hildesheimer's response. Remember, all of these arguments were annotated by Hildesheimer, so you now see he's responding to the first Raya Aleph, Mikofonoch, Reish Samad Chesif, Tes, and any of their Klal Masach. Amavuav, a Perush, Begimara, the Lashem Mitzvah, Hanu Lashem Geirut. When the Shulchan Aruch says Lashem Mitzvah, that you're supposed to be circumcised, but it means Lashem Geirut, Kimavuav, I have other Zav. Umashi Hikshad, the Lashem Geirut, Shita, etc., etc., Yikshal Habrais Alkana. So he argues and he's that this passage in the Shulchan Aruch can't be taken literally, and of course, technically speaking, Hildesheimer is correct. When we come, let's go to his Hildesheimer's annotation, Tet Zayin. Okay? Uma she'arich b'chakira l'chazek svarato. And now, what he wanted by... You have it?
Over here?
Yeah.
The middle column.
The next, the middle column of the next page.
Tet Zayin.
Uma she'arich b'chakira l'chazek svarato al ikar ha'chakira eineni model lo klal u'klal. I simply reject the whole line of thought. A Jew and a non-Jew is not a Jew. The quotation is strange. It's strange for Hildesheimer having brought this quotation. The actual source of this quotation in the Yerushalmi was discussing a topic that we studied recently, namely the question of Yehoi Val Yavo. And as you know, the halacha is that if you're allowed, if the guy tries to force you to do any mitzvah other than the three essential ones, then you're supposed to violate the mitzvah and or the avera and not perform the mitzvah. And Yerushalmi tells the story of some guy in Rome who threatened a Jew to eat some nevela, and the Jew refused, or whatever it was he forced him to eat, and the Jew refused, even though his life was in threat, was in danger. And then the guy said to him, you know, if you would have eaten it, I would have killed you. And because the guy said the Jew should follow his own behavior and the guy should follow his own. So what Hildesheimer here is quoting is the non-Jew who threatened the life of the Jew. So it's a strange quotation, but it clearly summarizes Hildesheimer's Germanic precision. We have a law. The law says what a Jew is. A Jew is a Jew. A non-Jew is a non-Jew. Why do you mix me, my mind up with all of these abstract theories? So, Yehudai, Yehudai, V'Ramai, Ramai. V'Anachnu Mukuyavim L'Tchot Malena Harotzim Af L'Gayer. We are under the obligation to try to reject even those who want to convert. V'Ein Mekablin Gerim V'Mei Shloma U'ma Lanu L'Fatot Otam Yedei Mila V'Lo Kavanat Gerut. Why should we make any attempt to persuade them, to tempt them to become Jewish by conversion? Yisharu b'geyutam, let them remain goyim, v'yikamu zayin mitzvot, u'ma lahem ol, what else do they need? V'yim kavanatol shelo l'shem gurut, ma lanu l'fatutam. Why do we have to try to persuade these children, or why should... V'yatahu sish, shekol shekein hu l'yelet zeh, u'ma kol shekein hu. Here, why should we be persuaded to circumcise this child against his will? Umasha katav shedokinotam v'yadayim yadat Yisrael al kol zeh tamay tamayekra. V'chi anu dokhin, are we rejecting this father? Halo nidchehu, this man has rejected himself. V'im yotzeh lavo yavo. If someone wants to come, let him come. We're not obligated to attract anybody. The Zara HaKodesh is not referring to the offspring, but rather to the father themselves. So that's
Well, let's stick to 20, go to 21. Umasha yagrich b'darkei musal ki yetov me'od shelo v'stoma ha'otei darak lashuv shehu ata b'chlal mu'uvat lo yechol lichton litkom ubanim efshar shelofanim gedolei Yisrael yismuku mehem v'kulo hinei divrei musal ke'elu v'vadai ru'uyim l'gavro yakir ha'kamol. Certainly these words of Musa are certainly fitting for you. Aval kol zeh eino shevel lan v'anon mitzad ha'din anu danim. We simply have to follow what the law says. ולדינה לנידייתי אין לנו רשות למול נחרים כאלו ואין אומרים לו לאדם חטא בשביל שיזכה חברך ואם משום מעוות לא יוכל לתקון לא ידעתי איך מצא זאת שהוא בכלל מעוות ובנישת לו כמר ובשום נעשי רק ובין הערבה שהוא מיוחס לאחריו את זה. So that's Hildesheimer's response. Now let's turn back to Kalisher. I will שנות ברכה בחיים בכל טוב ישכון באוהל צדיק ידידי וחביבי הרב ארגון המובק החוכם משל עם הצפר צפר זה רב תודות לו כי עוצם תודותיו לו חפלו בו מחכו דברי אמת בצדק לפי דעתו הרחבה ואם כי דעתי קצת וחלקה מדעתו בזה even though I disagree with you על כל זה מתוך שפולו הנאה ראיתי כי למטרת האמת הצד יפעל ואומנם גם אנוכי הצעיר פונן קשתי לברר ימין הצדק בעזרת השם ועל ידי חלקי הבונה והסותר יפערו האמת למיתו ואני איחרתי עד הנה כי לא הייתי בקו הבריאה וגם כתבו הנעים דקה מן הדקה והרהר יחשב בעיניי לקרותו. Can't read his handwriting, too thin. Okay, let's see if we can towards the end of the next page on the left,